So the Apostle Paul begins this very practical section in chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. You cannot read that verse of Scripture without connecting it with chapter 6 and verse 18, where he says, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We're to pursue this unity together. Unity that begins by accepting one another. Unity as standing in the Word of God, as God has given us in chapter 4, God has provided the men of the ministry for the perfecting of the saints, and then the laying out of all the things which we are to be on guard about as the body of Christ and God's own chosen people. So the union and dependence of the Lord's church is emphasized in all of this scripture. This morning I want us to focus on three thoughts. First of all, prayer for all saints. Second of all, as Paul said, prayer for me. And thirdly, I want us to consider prayer for liberty. Prayer for all saints, prayer for me, prayer for liberty. In the warfare that God has engaged us in, we recognize the connection that all of us have together, and we've connected this last week as we saw in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You and I have a personal Lord, and I think that as we look at the scriptures here, we see individually, personally, how we're to embrace this. But we also see it as how we are to embrace it as a church body as well. We have a personal Lord. We have personal power for each one of us. Finally, my brethren, as each one stands individually and as they stand together as a unit, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We have a personal armor to which we're to wear. We have been told in the scripture here in verse 18 also that we're to pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. You and I are a people to be filled with the Spirit. We saw that in chapter 5 and verse 18. Here we are to pray in the Spirit. And as we just read a few moments ago in chapter 4, there's to be unity in the Spirit. But as the apostle is laying out and has concluded all of the different parts of the armor for us, he now challenges us as God's people to pray. Our union and dependence on the Lord Jesus Christ is critical. But as we look at, again, the scripture here, the last phrase of this 18th verse, where he says, excuse me, for all saints. Prayer is the language of our heart that has been brought to God. In the scope of all of the New Testament, the saints are praying for one another. The saints are praying for God's power and might. And in the New Testament, they weren't divided by their denominations, were they? There was a glorious unity. They had conflicts within. They had enemies already trying to intrude into their liberty. There were some that had come in to try to reassert the law rather than trusting Christ by grace. Numerous battles that the Apostle Paul and others write and address in the New Testament scriptures. So when the Apostle Paul writes this and he says, and for all saints, Some might look at this and say, well, you know, he was really just thinking for the saints that they knew, the believers that they knew there in Ephesus where they were believers. But I don't believe that for a moment. I believe there was great communication that was going on between all of the brethren. And they did, they wouldn't have known of every church, just as you and I do not know of every church. But I'm convinced that they knew the conditions and struggles of individual churches, and maybe even some of the individuals within the churches. And that prompted me to begin to think of all of the cities that are mentioned in the book of Acts. So the Apostle Paul, by the ministry of the Holy Spirit, challenges him to write this: pray for all saints. Praying for all saints. So I took my Bible. I didn't complete the entire list, but I went through 19 chapters. There were saints at Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, Ethiopia, Azotus, Caesarea, Damascus, Tarsus, all of the cities of Galilee, Lydda, Sharon, Joppa, Phoenicia, Cyprus, Antioch in Syria, Paphos, Perga, Pamphylia, Antioch in Pisidia, Iconium, Lystra, Derbe, and the churches that were all throughout Syria, Cilicia, Phrygia, the region of Galatia, Mysia, Macedonia, Troas, this one I've got to sound out, Samothracia, Neapolis, Philippi, Thyatira, Amphilus, Apollonia, Thessalonica, Berea, Athens, Corinth, Achaia, Ephesus. That's just through chapter 19. And that's not counting. I didn't start where I probably should have started. Because on the day of Pentecost, there were Parthians, Medes, Elamites, those of Mesopotamia, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Egypt, Libya, Rome. Pray, Paul says here, with perseverance and supplication for all saints. We at least know that the Apostle Paul had given information about the impoverished believers at Jerusalem and Judea. And we know that that gifts were being taken up, so that those that were in such dire straits could receive help. So the Apostle Paul says for us to pray, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Has God ever laid a particular country on your heart in a maybe in an unusual fashion. When I was studying under Pastor Reno up in Maryland, I, for a good while, had a particular burden for Tibet. I had read the book that Sharon had from a man named Jeffrey Bull, who had been a missionary prior to the communist takeover over of China, right after the Second World War. And it captured my imagination to pray for Tibet. From time to time, I have prayed for Tibet. I know Pastor Reno and others. I remember Brother Jeff Holloway prayed for Cuba. And then God gave him the opportunity, if you remember, he went to, I think, Nicaragua, and then the Nicaraguan baseball team flew up when everything was still closed under Castro, and he got to fly into Cuba and had opportunity to minister there. Pastor Reno telling me of a man who had a burden to get into Burma, I think it was, and he wasn't allowed, so he took shoe polish. And he took shoe polish covered all of his face and body with shoe polish to stain his skin so he would look like an Indian so he could go into Burma. Praying for all saints. And here God has brought Sarah into our midst and her mother that we enjoyed having fellowship with. And probably you hadn't prayed for Singapore, if ever. But now you have a connection to Singapore. You know someone there. And God may have already put it in your heart to begin to pray for Singapore. And with all the outbreak of the disease that is so spreading now. Now we have a burden to pray for Singapore because we don't want Sarah's mom and dad and family to contract this. Praying for all saints. You and I have brethren and believers in South America, all scattered all over Africa, whose names we will not know till we all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Churches, little churches. Scriptures there in the book of Acts speaks about all the churches that were in Syria. All of the assemblies of believers scattered there. Praying for all saints. I think the Apostle Paul is setting something in the minds of these believers at Ephesus not to be so just praying for us four and no more, but to have a far greater scope to pray and to carry a burden. Praying for all saints. Saints, what a description of you and I as sinners. And so Paul addresses this church. He says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God to the saints. And these are not those that had arrived at some unique and particular spiritual echelon above all the rest. These were the believers. They're one and the same. And so as he said, address them in their family connection in verse 10, he said in chapter 6, verse 10, finally, my brethren, we're in the family. But then he says, praying for all the saints. Now he moves us not just in this earthly family of believers, but he causes us to see that all of our brethren, strong and weak, young and old, he has addressed wives and husbands, children, servants and masters. all comprising the body of believers at Ephesus and comprising the body of believers throughout the world then and now. Pray. Put on your armor. We are wrestling against a great foe. Wear it in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Each piece put on with prayer. Stand, and having done all to stand, stand, praying, 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 and praying for all the saints. We pray for our missionaries. We read Brother Fayard's letter here this morning. Makes us not only pray for him and that ministry, for the many nationalities that he has the privilege of go on board these merchant ships that travel the world. The Ukrainians we heard about this morning, the Russians, the Georgians, those from India. And we think of that and we pray for that. But then that also reminds us to pray for those nations and the believers there. And every once in a while, again, we're reminded of someone in Papua New Guinea. We're reminded here of Brazil because of the ministry this upcoming week by the Reno family. Praying for all the saints. There are some particulars in the Reno's family that they believe are not necessarily what we as a church here believe. But they're saints. They're the chosen of God. They're washed in the same blood as we are. And we remember them in prayer. And we're to have this wide world scope of prayer. Praying with perseverance and supplication for all saints. Second of all, the apostle says here, and prayer for me. And for me. Here Paul addresses himself to them as an ambassador, for which I am an ambassador. May we also refer to Paul as not only Ambassador Paul, but maybe in our language, Missionary Paul. And for me. So not only do we have the scope of praying for all of God's churches and every believer, true believer in every church. You say, but we don't know all of those. No, I realize that. Again, I look at this through the eyes of the believers at Ephesus, that when he says this to them, their minds shoot out to all of these cities that maybe have been brought up at one time or another, or they're hearing from here or there, people traveling and communing, and they hear about the churches in Antioch, the churches in Galatia. And so they become affectionate to those cities that are housing those believers. And when he says to pray for all the saints, here is another town, here is another place that I can add that I know of. But we are not only praying for those that we know of, are we not also praying that God will establish churches in places where he's not known? And so the Apostle Paul says, and for me. Two things stand out in those simple three words. First of all, humility. 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 I thank the Lord that all of the missionaries that this church supports, we've never had one of them, to my knowledge, come and stand before this congregation and tell what great things they have done. If somebody did, they'd lose support here very quickly. But missionaries have come here and they have magnified what God has done. And we continue to hear from them their heart's burden for God to help them, for God to have mercy on them, for God to have mercy on the people that they're ministering to. They continue to show a humility. God help us. And they say, pray for us. Paul says, pray for me. It is these are the words of humility, but they are also the words of dependency. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. I recently heard a brother state that most likely the Apostle Paul, as he is writing from his house in jailed in his own home and yet under 24-hour guard, that most likely it would have been every 6 hours a new Roman guard would be assigned to watch the Apostle Paul. So that would mean in a 24-hour period, 4 men are going to be witnessed to. But 4 men would also hear the prayers. They would see the communication of others that would have come to visit the Apostle Paul. Paul is writing this epistle from such circumstances. When Paul dictates this letter to be written to the believers at Ephesus, he has a Roman soldier on his arm. What the Apostle Paul has dictated is now heard in the ears of a Roman soldier. What a witness and a testimony. Because what the Apostle Paul dictated, all of these soldiers could see lived out in this man who is in bonds. And he is still asking for prayer. They see the humility of this man. They hear the humility of this man. They hear the dependency of this man. How unique and different he was to all other philosophers and religious leaders. What did he have? He had the living God. He had the living Christ. He is a man of humility, a man of dependency. And yet, he claims a heavenly ambassador. He declares himself to be nothing more than a government official. He is operating in the capacity on errand from a risen Son of God. Pray for me, he says. Then also he gives the specific, that utterance may be given unto me. Praying for all saints, prayer for me. And he says, prayer for liberty, that I may speak boldly. I think this also tells us of the intimidation factor of these Roman soldiers on his arm. They do not come and take up their position as believers, as someone ready to listen to what he has to say. They come and take up their position as the antagonists to a common soldier, and of all people, a Jew. Would he feel that intimidation? These words make that clear. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly. I would say yes. Satan always is working to intimidate us, put us in circumstances to get us to in some way compromise our living Lord. Prayer for liberty. How they prayed for the Apostle Paul is how we are to pray for our missionaries and how we are to pray for all saints. And so I think this gives us clues to understand the wiles that the apostle wrote about in verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And how he described verse 16, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. How many of those soldiers came to trust Christ, we have no idea. But they were constantly on the receiving end of hearing the prayers of this man and the witness of this man. But finally this morning, this is the end of the letter, isn't it? I want you to think for a moment and pull together all of the truths and the thoughts that are compiled in this letter. The doctrinal things that the Apostle Paul has laid out before them beginning in the first three chapters. And now the practical aspect of how they are to live and walk and serve in the last three chapters. I want you to kind of connect in your mind that these verses, verses 18, 19, and 20, are similar to Romans chapter 12. Turn back with me to Romans chapter 12, please. You know these words. Some of you have them memorized. The Apostle Paul, after having laid out such a the doctrinal position of the people of God, he comes in chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. May I say that that speaks to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He says, I beseech you here in Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, look at all that God has done for you. Look at Christ and what he's provided for you. And how that you, Gentiles, who had once been set aside, now are embraced by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. May I say that as Paul, this comes to a musical crescendo in Romans 12, 1 and 2, so in Ephesians 6, and in this particular final words, praying always with all prayer and supplication, perseverance, watching for all saints and for me. We see as the apostle comes to the end of what he's writing, what do we do with this? What do we do with all of this truth? We bring it all together to pray. To pray, to pray, to give ourselves to prayer, praying for all of the saints of God, praying for all of the ambassadors of God. Praying for liberty. And as you would pray for liberty for the missionary, you recognize how essential it is to pray for every saint of God for the same. That all of us would have the boldness, all of us would have the utterance to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, even in the most intimidating moments. That utterance be given to us. That we offer our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. May God make us strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and make us a praying people that see beyond just the scope of our small circle, but make us intercessors for every believer worldwide. When we hear of some church scattered in some far-flung place to which we'll never go and we'll never know the names, but we pray. We pray for our missionary, Brother Randy Bain, going to Australia, East Timor, for God to open hearts there, for the saints that are there. And wherever it may be, may God further continually widen our view to pray. I believe that God has brought Sarah Gong into our midst to add that location for us to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you have done for us, and we thank you for the instruction of your word. Give us an ever-increasing burden to pray for all saints, to persevere, watching, as you bring more and more. We think of our brethren in Nepal and the dear Woon family. We pray for the Renos. We pray for Israel and our brethren ministering there. Oh, Lord Jesus, help us, we pray. Make us to be the intercessors that you made the Apostle Paul, who cared for and carried all of the burden of all the churches he wrote. Help us to do the same. Thank you again now for your mercy to us. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to accompany you here this morning, number 385. Sarah will maybe try to help us, or not help us, but sing for us here. Number 385, I hope I have it high enough in key for us to sing. Near the cross.
Near Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all, a healing stream flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, till my raptured soul.
Sarah, you want to try and sing it? She's been singing it in Chinese for us? Okay, well, I didn't get to hear that.